Kia ora and welcome everyone to episode number 4 of the Kiwi Running Show.
Hello, hello, and thank you for joining us. It's great to have you along today. Hayden, what's the agenda for today?
Coming up today, we have a little bit of local news, namely Wellington Marathon was on Sunday.
Pretty good stuff.
Yep, windy as you'd expect.
Yep.
And a couple of cross-country results and things like that that will tick off. We've got interviews with the two winners from Wellington Marathon.
Wow, nice.
Katie and Karen.
Yep.
And then we have a bit of international news, and then we catch up with the fourth of our New Zealand's Next Top Miler.
Julian Matthews.
Yeah, Mr. Julian Matthews.
Who has already qualified for the Rio Paralympics.
So Paralympics?
No, what am I talking about? Oh my gosh. I would like to take this opportunity to apologize to you, our listeners. I have a little bit of a cold. And my brain isn't working and my voice doesn't sound as good as it normally does.
But you also work for ParaFed,
which you're
in that space all the time. So,
Well, Olympics, Paralympics, I mean, what's better? Who's to say?
Yeah.
Paralympics, pretty good, you know, just like the Olympics, but a little more heart. So, yeah.
So Julian Matthews has got the qualifying time
for the Olympic Games.
He hasn't been selected yet, but
he will be.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's coming up. And then we'll talk a little bit of a training tip at the end. And
Cool. Excellent. Nice. So let's talk about some local results. And first up, Wellington Marathon.
Yeah. Have you ever done this race?
No. I don't think I've ever done a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
You've just
jumped from 1,500 meters.
When I did Ironman, I ran a ran a marathon at the end of Ironman, which was mostly, I didn't walk, but it was kind of walking speed. Let's not talk about that. And then when I did the 100K last year, I obviously ran.
You did a couple of marathons.
A marathon in there. And so I went through in about 3:15. So I count that as my unofficial marathon PB. But I should go and do a marathon one day. But it's one of those ones coming from a track background, you know, being a sub 4 minute 1500 meter runner, I think I should be running like a 2:30 marathon. But no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. You don't want to take your 1500 meter time, jump on the old online calculators, plug it in.
Oh,
I can do a 2:20 something.
Yeah. Easy.
I've made that mistake before.
Yeah. Doesn't quite work like that, does it? No.
The night before my first marathon, I did exactly that.
I
took my 1500 meter time. I was feeling pretty good at the time and plugged it in. I was like, I think a little bit faster than planned.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that, the weather's 28 degrees here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I did go out a little bit too hard.
But. Yep. Oh, well. You live and you learn. But let's talk about some real marathoners.
Yes.
Or should we start with the half marathon?
Yeah, let's start with the half.
Okay.
So this is Wellington Marathon. Half, and it's always a competitive field at the half. The marathon's not quite the same profile as say an Auckland or a Rotorua.
It's that next level down. So there's Auckland, Rotorua, Christchurch. They're the big three.
Yeah.
And then the next kind of level down, New Plymouth, Wellington,
Queenstown, maybe.
Hawke's Bay. Yeah. So it is, you know, it's one of the more competitive races in New Zealand, but the half always attracts a good field. A lot of Wellington guys front up, and we know they're great middle and long distance kind of track runners down there. You get a lot of guys from the whole central region. So, and even the winner all the way from Rotorua made the drive down, Michael Voss. How is his form? How good is that? Man,
he's becoming the king of the half marathon.
So backing well done, up Michael. 3 weeks after having finished third at the Christchurch half marathon, he comes to Wellington and wins that in 1 hour 10 minutes and 14 seconds, so pretty quick in those conditions. Chris Sanson was second, 1:12.08, and Brian Garmansway third in 1:12.46. Over to the women's, Rebecca Elliott took the win in 1:25.03, followed by Taryn Ryan and Charlotte Haina. So, you know, pretty good fields in the half marathon. And
about the 10K? Can we? Did you get the 10K results?
Yeah, I did. I'm looking at it, and I'm going to say you've told me not to be controversial. But anyway, I'm looking at the race as a marathon and a half marathon. I'm actually amazed how many good runners front up for the 10K because it's the third event on the day. But anyway, Having said that, Tim Hodge took out the win in 33-12, followed by Nathan C. And I know I'm not saying that correctly, Nathan, so please Facebook me or something and tell me how to say it correctly. And third, Tim Cornish in 34-07, Sarah Drought winning the women's 10K in 36-26, ahead of, oh man, more difficult names. God. Jean Kozeniak, and then in third, Ariana Harper, which I can say easily. Nice. So, yeah. it's an interesting one. Really strong 10Ks, really strong half marathon, and then the marathon also strong, but all obviously affected by some pretty bad weather on the day that we'll talk about.
And I was just having a look at Met Service, which has the wind readings, and we're talking 80-90 kilometer hour northerlies, so that's pretty windy, and some of those exposed points it gets maybe even stronger than that when it sort of funnels in. It's hard slog.
Yeah, and look, you can argue it a lot of ways. I would say when you're running into that wind, it's costing you about 45 seconds to a minute per 5 kilometers. Something like that. It's not an insignificant difference that it'll make to your time. But obviously, you know, you and go you, out and you, then come back.
Yeah, you don't pick it up. You don't get the gains going downwind that you'd get the, So it doesn't balance itself out. It's right. Like running on hills. But
let's talk about these results. And you're going to help me with a name here. The men's winner, who we're interviewing soon, is called
Kieran Faherty,
who's from Ireland. And we're interviewing him in a few minutes, and I'm really looking forward to that. He took the win from Dave Parsons.
He's a Wellingtonian.
Yeah, and then in third place, Ed Whiting, who finished third in 2:52. So, and then the women's results, Katie Wirral taking the win in 3:02:46 from a Japanese visitor, Yumuki Tanaka. And then the ultra marathoner, Jo Johansson, in third. So Jo Johansson, really interesting. She won the Tarawera 100 kilometer race. I think it was this year, correct?
I don't know.
I think so, yes. So a very accomplished ultra marathoner, I guess, stepping down. And Tanaka, the Japanese visitor, is a guest. Wellington's sister city is Sakai, and Yumuka Tanaka won a sister race in Japan and basically got a trip over to race in New Zealand. So
yeah, it's cool. They do a reverse thing, so they're sending a female, I think the winner of the Wellington winner of the female race.
Yeah.
So whoever that is, I'm not too sure in the results, but she'll be going over to Japan to race next year. So yeah, cool little system.
Yeah. Very exciting. Yeah.
So speaking of the Wellington Marathon, up now we have the interviews with the two winners. So first up, Katie, and then Kieran. Well, we are very stoked to have on the phone with us today Katie Wirral, the winner of the Wellington Marathon just at the weekend. So Katie, first of all, welcome to the show and congratulations for an amazing run yesterday.
Thank you.
And how are the legs? Are they feeling all right? You've just run 42.2K. Are you walking downstairs?
Yeah, they're not too bad, but yeah, the stairs are pretty horrendous still. Yeah.
Do you have an approach for taking the stairs? Are you the walk down backwards or the just grab two handrails and slowly ease yourself down?
If it's really bad, I'll go down sideways.
Good tactic.
Yeah, I seem to be all right going front ways today, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. I remember being in Chicago after the marathon, and we went around looking for somewhere to eat, and it was funny, all these runners, like, that looks like a good restaurant, but it's upstairs. I'm going to move on. But anyway, so it'd be really cool to hear about your race. So, kind of coming into the race, how are you feeling, and were you thinking that a first was on the cards?
No, not really, because I knew that the lady that they'd flown over from Japan was pretty good, so I thought she would probably be first, and then I wasn't quite sure who else was entered, so I definitely wasn't thinking first. I was hoping for maybe top three. That was kind of what I was aiming for.
Yeah. So what was the Japanese lady's personal best coming into the race?
Well, I know that she ran to get the to win the trip to Wellington. She ran a 2:57, so I'm not sure if that's her personal best or if she's done better than that in the past. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and so you ran a 3:04. Is that was that
3:02?
Yeah. Golly, sorry about that. So is that your best time? And if yes, what was your previous best?
No, that's not my best. My best was at Rotorua in April, and that was 2:57.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah, and speaking of Rotorua, like you've been on a quite a cool progression. So this year you got second. The year before you got third, and so sort of up and up. So it's quite cool to cap that off with a win.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, how's it kind of been since? I guess progressing up the ranks. Like, are you feeling like you're sort of getting more confident with the marathon, with that distance, or what's kind of been the secret for just slowly chipping away at those times?
Well, funnily enough, I was actually just saying to my husband today that I feel more nervous on the start line of races now than I used to. But I think that's because I try and obviously want to do better and better. So that's the nerves. But I think probably the secret has been obviously being having Hayden as a coach. And kind of before I had Hayden, I used to just go as hard as I could right from the start and then obviously start to kind of putt out along the way. But last year at Rotorua, I ran with the 3-hour paces, which helped me keep on pace. And then this year in Rotorua, I stuck exactly to the time for each kilometre that I was trying to aim for. So that's meant that I didn't burn out before, you know, halfway along the way.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I mean, I texted you last night saying you're a pleasure to coach because you are one of those runners who you write a bit of a game plan and you execute it to perfection every time, which is amazing. And
yeah, that's a nice change because that's actually pretty rare. And I know my sister won't listen to this, so I'll snag her right now. Yeah, I gave her like really good pacing strategy for the Hawke's Bay Marathon, and she just absolutely just did the complete opposite of what I wanted and had a disaster of a day. So
the old 5K PB in the first 5K.
Yeah, no, it actually was. Yes. Oh, no. Yeah. Excellent. So if I'm not completely up to the play with the New Zealand running scene at the moment, but I must admit, you know, your name, I've seen it a couple of times, but I'm not really aware of your background. Hayden tells me you come from a bit of a triathlon background. Is that correct?
Yeah, sort of. I started off doing marathons. And then, I did my first marathon and did quite a terrible time and thought that I'd never do another one. And some friends convinced me to do another one. And I bet my time that time by over an hour. So then I decided, maybe I should give that bit more of a go. So,
what was that first time, can we ask?
4:37.
4:37. Oh,
that's still good. Pretty respectable. But compared to where you are now, definitely.
Pretty slow.
And then so your next one, you took an hour off that time. Is that correct?
It was 3:26, I think, the second one.
Wow. And so previous to that, did you have much of a background in running? Did you run in high school or track and field, any of that?
Not really. I mean, I liked cross country at school when we did it, but nothing competitive. So I did a half marathon one year. I can't remember what year that was. And then the marathon the year after, and then swore I'd never do one again. But then the year after that is when I cut it down by over an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
And then I did like a couple more, I think. And then I decided that I would give Ironman a go. So I did that for a couple of years. But then realized that I actually love running and don't really like swimming and hiking that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's when I contacted Hayden.
Yeah. And it's cheaper as well. So.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
And one of the problems, if you like that with triathlon, and you really enjoy the running, I've found when you get off the bike, the running just feels so terrible that you don't really get to enjoy it. Like the only thing you're fresh for is the swim and a little bit of the bike, and the rest is you're just hanging on for dear life.
I find this really intriguing that you've, you know, got into it and come from a 4.5 hour marathon and then, you know, down to the 3:20s and now down under 3 hours. What kind of a time frame has this been over? There's obviously a few years, but
I think I ran my first marathon maybe 5 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and awesome.
And then I've been coached by Hayden for the last year and a half. So before that, my best time was 3:12, I think, before Hayden.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool. Oh, good awesome. Work, coach.
Very exciting. And we should probably talk a little bit about Wellington Marathon, because I'm sure a lot of people were out there battling the wind and the conditions. Yeah. And it's interesting because Wellington, if it wasn't for the wind, I would say it's, aside from Christchurch, the fastest marathon course.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, one of the flattest in the country anyway. So it should be, when you look at it on Google Maps, it should be nice and quick, but it's so exposed around there. Yeah. And when that northerly gets up, it just goes goes ridiculous. So how did you find it? How was the course?
Well, I don't really like flat courses, so it was probably a little bit stupid to have entered it. Because when I was driving it the day before, I was like, oh no, this is really flat.
This is boring,
So I think that the wind actually added a little bit of, I guess, excitement to it, because it meant you had to vary kind of your running technique rather than just the same stride all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the wind was pretty horrendous. Definitely significantly slower when the wind was in my face.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I ran my first half marathon there, and coming up to Point Jerningham, I remember distinctly coming up behind Tim Cornish, who at the time had a large afro, sort of big curly hair. He's quite a lot taller than I am, and he was my wind buffer. And I was tucked in behind him, but he actually came to a dead stop with the wind. So, it can really, really blow. And so was it kind of a big positive split? You went out with the tailwind and then came home slower?
It was kind of weird because it felt like at times on the way out that the wind was in my face as well. Like it was, felt like it was behind me for that first bit, but then at the first kind of turn off bit where you do the double loop, felt like the wind was in our faces the entire time, regardless of which direction. So I think it might have been changing a little bit, like it might have been, I don't know, northeasterly or northwest, I don't know, I'm not sure the directions, but definitely wasn't significantly faster in one direction than the other, but just obviously a little bit easier.
I understand that you kind of dispensed with any sort of race tactics and pretty much just took the lead pretty early on. At what stage were you comfortable throughout the race? Did you feel confident of holding off the other ladies, or was there a bit of panic in that second half thinking you were going to get run down?
I guess I never really feel comfortable, never take it for granted, but I, at that final turn, I was about maybe 3 minutes ahead of the, no, it wasn't the Japanese lady, it was the ultra marathon.
Yeah, Joe Hansen.
Of her, I was 3 minutes ahead of Joe, so I thought that unless something really badly went wrong or she was really had a lot on the tank, I probably should be able to hold her off, but I wasn't. No, I was never 100% certain until I crossed the line.
Yeah, yeah. That's excellent. And so I guess, this is your second domestic marathon win. You've also won the North Shore Marathon, and then obviously this weekend you've mentioned Joe Johansson, the ultra marathoner. You've handily dispatched her, and she's a former winner of the Tarawera Ultra Marathon. Is the longest stuff something you'd be interested in? I guess coming from that background of Ironman, being out there for 10 plus hours wouldn't necessarily scare you off, but is it something you're interested in?
I've done the Taniwha, which was 60 kilometres a couple of years ago, and I quite enjoyed that. So, yeah, definitely I would like to go further. It's just a matter of having the time to do the training for it.
Yeah. I mean, something like Tarawera with a few little hills might be down your alley.
Mm.
Awesome. One question we ask everyone on the show is, what from running have you learned about life?
I've definitely learned that kind of what you put into it, kind of you get out. So the more effort I put in and the more time and stuff I put in, obviously the more the results keep coming. And just to, I guess the kind of determination, if you apply that to kind of different aspects of life, I think that you can kind of get through any kind of hard patch. So I quite often use that with other areas of life.
Yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. And what do you eat before a run, like either the night before or a couple of hours before the marathon?
Favorites? I generally have lasagna the night before.
Nice.
Very good.
Good.
And then the morning I have porridge and a banana.
Oh, yeah. That's very very tried and tested formula.
Nothing too exciting.
I like it. And do you, I think a lot of people would be interested in this during the race, what do you consume as far as electrolytes? Do you take flat Coke or gels, all that sort of thing?
I just drink water until 30Ks, and then I have a bit of Coke from then onwards. Not sure exactly how much, but maybe, I don't know, 300 mils spread across, I don't know, three bottles or whatever.
Yeah, cool.
And then I have gels. The only ones that seem to agree with me is a type that you can't even get in New Zealand anymore called Dextro.
Yeah,
so I have to get them from, order them from overseas, but they tend to not upset my stomach. So,
a sponsor alert there for anyone connected to Dextro.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be nice,
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, it's been great to have you on the show, Katie. And I know you've got a few races coming up. So do you want to give us the heads up on what's next on the cards for you?
Yeah, I'm doing a half marathon that I can't remember the name of in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got the North Shore Marathon in September.
Ah, back to try and defend your title. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, that will be.
Cool.
Very cool. Well, all the best for recovery, getting down those stairs, and well done again for an absolutely amazing win at the weekend.
Thank you.
Enjoying being back in a not quite so windy Auckland.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, guys.
So we are very stoked to have the other winner on the show from the Wellington Marathon, the men's winner, Kieran Faherty. I hope I've pronounced your name right, Kieran.
Yeah, you're pretty close. What's
the official pronunciation? We may as well get it right.
Faherty.
Yeah, awesome. I think I've got to work on my Irish accent.
I'm pretty sure Kieran just said it right, and then you just said it back to him wrong again.
Like I said anyway, it originally. Anyway.
I get it all the time.
Yeah, good.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, Kieran. Amazing run at the weekend. How does it feel to be the winner of the Wellington Marathon?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good after a few second places and third places. It feels good to win.
Yeah. Oh, well, you've had a busy year so far. Do you want to kind of quickly run us through the major events you've done so far in 2016 and your kind of results there?
I guess I've done five major races, four marathons, one half marathon. Did 2:22 New Plymouth in March.
Wow.
Yeah. I won Huntley in 69 minutes.
Wow. Good.
And then third at the Nationals at Rotorua in the marathon.
Yeah.
Second at Christchurch and first yesterday.
Wow.
That's a busy schedule.
That is a busy
guy.
Yeah.
We need a few more marathons on the schedule to keep you a bit more entertained.
No, you don't.
that's awesome. And that's quite a lot of, you know, high profile races to be getting in the top three, especially when you talk about Rotorua, Christchurch and Wellington. So well done with that.
Thank you.
Do you want to run us through how Wellington unraveled? I know Dave Parsons is a pretty fierce competitor, and he was there or thereabouts. How did it sort of unravel for you?
So it went down. I decided to go down, and I kind of wanted to do it as a training run.
Yeah.
But I landed on Saturday afternoon, and went to registration, and I kind of wanted to win. So my tactics kind of changed. The race started. Dave went out ahead, probably followed maybe 15 meters behind.
Yeah.
For about 26 kilometers. Then we ran together for maybe 4 kilometers. Then I put in a little spurt, and thankfully he disappeared.
Excellent. And so you ran the rest of the race by yourself. Were you looking back? Did you see him behind you? Or?
I looked back a few times because I kind of rested in the last couple of Ks. Yep. It was pretty windy, so I didn't push too hard.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and how did that wind compare to your typical Irish windy day? I don't know if it's very windy over in Ireland.
Yeah, it's pretty windy and it rains a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of similar, I guess.
Yeah. So you maybe got a little bit of background training in there somewhere in your genes.
I've never actually ran in Ireland.
Yeah,
never.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is interesting because you've put together an amazing string of results. So, you know, do kind of tell us a little bit about your background. I know you've spent some time in Aussie and obviously originally from Ireland, and you've been here for a couple of years. I'm keen to hear the whole story. Not a runner in Ireland. Did you do any sports?
Yeah. I was always pretty fit. Did some Gaelic football and some hurling.
Yeah. So but, no real sports then?
Yeah. No real sports.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably started running about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the last 6 months have been serious.
Wow.
Wow.
That's impressive. And how old are you now?
28.
Wow. That's and did you kind of have a hunch when you were younger that maybe you were good at this running thing, or is it something that's
not
just...
necessarily. I was always competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so these results, you know, these people who train for years, if not decades, to get the kind of string of results you've had, I'd quite keen to know, what does a typical sort of training week look like for you?
I do about 100 miles plus per week.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And no problems handling that? Is that something you built up to, or did you just kind of jump into that?
Kind of jumped in, to be honest.
Yeah.
Wow. I think the most I ran was 210 kilometers per week.
Wow.
So that was pretty intense.
Yeah. Goodness. Okay. And
very good.
And so you've been in here in New Zealand for a couple of years, is it?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
And keen to stay around for a little bit more?
Yeah, do love it over here.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of back home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, awesome. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but we'll take it. Yeah, excellent. What's on the, what are in your plans for the next, the rest of the year?
I've got one main goal. I want to do good at Auckland.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to go off the racing scene for a few months.
Yeah.
One race.
I think you've definitely deserved a bit of a break after that schedule of races. So, that's very exciting. Now, I know that you work as a chef. So people listening would be really intrigued to know what is your nutrition habits before and after? Let's go that before and after a race. What are you down?
What do I have before a race? I guess I have muesli, or I love porridge and oats or Berkshire muesli, all that stuff.
Yeah, nice.
And I'll have a Clif bar and some gels during the race. Yep. And then after, I eat pretty much whatever I want for that day.
Yeah.
I, in general, though, I eat pretty healthy.
Yeah, cool. And whereabouts do you work in Auckland? You work as a chef?
Yeah, a cafe in Mount Eden. It's called Circus Circus.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I know it well. Been there a bunch of times.
Excellent. Good. So any runners specials on the menu, or?
There's a few healthy options, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, no, that's not what I was talking about at all, yeah, but anyway.
Any post-marathon options that you'd recommend?
Big greasy burger.
Not really, I guess.
Yeah. Awesome. Good work. Obviously, Auckland's on the cards next, and looking at the results, I mean, it's really a who's who of New Zealand's domestic marathoners. So, I mean, what's kind of going to be your approach? Because I imagine somewhere in the mid-220s is usually going to win it. What's your PB at the moment? You said you did 2:22. Was that at?
That was at New Plymouth. That was a downhill course, but
yeah,
I'm still claiming it.
So there's always an asterisk beside that.
Yeah.
That result, but your legs still have to move that fast. So it's And what about a normal flat course? What's your best so far?
I think Christchurch was 2:26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
Cool.
Excellent. So, yeah, definitely puts you in the hunt for being up there.
Will we see you on the local scene at all? Any 5K park runs or sneaky half marathons? Or are you really going to become a running hermit and we'll see you on the start line in Auckland?
I'll probably do a few 5Ks, probably in Cornwall Park.
Yeah.
I might pop over to Sydney for the half marathon.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep.
In Auckland.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Now, I've got to ask, like, as a chef and running those sorts of miles, like I know a lot of people I coach, they're running 50K a week and really struggling to fit that in around their work and life and all that. How do you have any techniques for squeezing the miles in?
My days off are pretty intense. I'll always do a double run.
Yeah.
And then every other evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
I've got to go back to it because I'm just fascinated by your improvement curve and, you know, the fact that you've jumped into 100 miles a week. There's a lot of the New Zealand guys, even a lot of the top guys, haven't built up to that sort of mileage yet. And you've found it pretty easy to jump in and run 100 miles and still hold down a job and you're not OCD or anything strange like that?
No, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I eat loads and I get plenty of sleep, so
yeah,
that kind of helps.
Excellent. Yeah. And where did you get, you know, what have you based your kind of training philosophies off, or have you been working with a coach or?
No, never had a coach.
Yep.
Probably just online.
Yep.
Yeah, and yeah. I follow a lot of guys on Strava and then I kind of see what they're doing and kind of try to evolve.
Yeah, do that next week.
This is so fascinating. I actually find it incredible, and it's a testament to the talent you have. Do you find yourself at what did you say, 28? Do you find yourself kind of wishing, I wish I'd given this a bit of a crack earlier on when I was younger, or you're happy for the chance where you are now and looking forward to the future?
I'm quite happy now, but I wish when I was a kid, when I was in school, that I got thrown into the mix.
Yeah.
I don't know where I could be now.
Yeah.
If I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you'd be, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a guy in the UK who was a kind of an overweight smoker, Michael
Ryan. Steve Way?
Steve Way, that's the one. Yeah. And overweight smoker through until his mid 30s and then, you know, sort of over the course of 5 years trained up and he actually made the London Olympic Games. So definitely, you know, there are people out there who have done that sort of thing, and you know, early results kind of indicate that, you know, you who knows, you might have that sort of talent. So excellent work, mate. We look forward to keeping up with your results.
Yeah. And before we let you go, we have to ask you one of the questions we ask everyone who comes on the show: what has running taught you about life?
Oh God, so much. I've learned so much about myself.
Yeah.
I never thought I could push myself so much or push boundaries, and it's great. And you meet like so many genuinely nice people. Yeah. Probably my best friends are I've met through running, so
yeah,
it's great.
Excellent. And so have you been roped into a club here in Auckland yet?
Yeah, I run for YMCA.
Oh, excellent.
Nice. Yeah, I think I'm the second youngest member in the club.
Yeah. Very good. Hey, whatever works. So that's very good.
Now, they say never to trust a skinny chef. Is that hard when it comes to your career, walking into a job interview and you walk in as a skinny marathon runner? Do you have to kind of prove yourself with your cooking or?
Yeah, sometimes. It's probably not great being so skinny, but I love running, so.
Yeah, and at least you can say, well, it fuels my 200K a week of running, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Excellent.
Brilliant. Well, thanks again, Kieran, for joining the show. Congratulations on an amazing win yesterday, and long may it continue.
Thank you very much.
All right, so well done to everyone who took part in the Wellington Marathon.
Yeah, awesome interviews.
Yeah, really, really inspiring, eh?
Cool to hear
two people who haven't come from the traditional, like we had New Zealand secondary school cross-country champs the other week, and we kind of think those people are going to go on and win the senior marathons in a few years.
Yeah.
But look, these two have sort of come out of nowhere.
Well, and it just goes to show, like, running is a sport. You get out of it what you put into it. And so talent is an important factor. There's no getting around that. And both these, you know, both Kieran and Katie obviously have some talent. Yeah. But if you look at especially Katie's early results, 4.5 hours. There's not a lot of obvious kind of winning talent in that time. And so they've worked really hard. It's a great story. And that's what I love about the sport.
I think if we're talking talent, you got to look at how they are mentally. You know, that's a talent.
It is.
And they're both really disciplined people.
How you stack up against all of that running. So Kieran has a talent. He can run 100 miles a week. You know, I've run with a lot of guys. If they get over 100K a week, you know, the bones start aching and the knees get all dodgy. But evidently he's able to go out and crack out 100 miles, even 200K, and do it again the next week. Yeah. So that's a talent in and of itself.
Whatever he's cooking at Circus Circus, I think people should go and check it out. Post-run recovery food.
Well, it's definitely good to support another runner anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of supporting other runners, let's talk a little about the cross-country season. Nothing on the national scene, but locally a pretty big race in Auckland this past weekend, the Auckland team's cross-country.
Nice.
So,
and how does this work? Do you know, is this a relay or do people all run at the same time?
Yeah, all run at the same time and they score your top few runners. So for the senior men and women, it's your top five runners. And for the veterans, I think it might be your top three runners. But we'll go through some of the individual results. That race, obviously, out in East Tamaki at Barry Curtis Park. Jono Jackson, a familiar name. He's, you know, won and finished second and third in lots of marathons and half marathons and goodness knows track races, everything all around the country. So one of New Zealand's most versatile athletes, had a convincing win in the 10K ahead of Mike Banks. And so obviously very muddy conditions, Jono Jackson winning in 34:23. So if that was a road race, you know, he'd sort of be at least a couple of minutes quicker than that. So obviously tough conditions. For the woman, Ashley Williams winning the 6K in 23:50. And then how's this for domination? The first five places all filled by runners from the North Harbour Bays Club.
Wow.
So,
and how many scored, do you know?
Five. So perfect score.
Yeah, not much maths needed there to hand out the trophy.
Yeah. So you can't ask for more than that. On the men's side, Auckland City Athletics won the men's team's event. Seven of their runners finishing in the top 20, so they are pretty dominant, taking the title from Pakuranga and Wesley. Harry Ewing came up from Hamilton, won the junior race from Daniel Hintz. Grace Wood winning the junior women's race. And then in the veterans, Nick Moore winning the 10K in 37:26 ahead of Brad Luton, who's a name that might be familiar. Yeah. Brad does a lot of the park runs. Basically any half marathon, 10K, 5K in Auckland, you'll see Brad often with his big headphones. So he's a very keen racer from Takapuna. And then on the women's side, Anna McRae, the fastest masters woman. So Anna, a member of the Tempo Fit team.
Tempo Fit crew.
Yeah, yep. And great race.
And I've been coaching her for a while, and she's just come back from a big injury. She had a great year last year, and it would be great to get her on the show, actually, to talk about her journey, because she went sub-3 in Auckland Marathon last year.
Wow.
Did a great result. And then three weeks later, did a big PB in the half marathon.
Yeah.
And then about a week later, when everything was going perfect for her, slipped over on a trail, got a really bad injury that knocked her off for about 6 months. So great to see her back and running. And I tell you what I'd love to do for that interview is hear how she used aqua jogging to stay fit, because my gosh, like I was trying to get her to do aqua jogging, keeping in mind that she probably won't do that much aqua jogging. That's what most of my runners do when I get them to do aqua jogging. But man, she was down at the pool almost every day and just hammering it out. And she's kept her fitness up really, really, really well.
So, paying dividends. And, you know, Auckland Cross Country Champs just around the corner, and then the National Cross Country Champs here. So I'm really looking forward to seeing and reporting on Anna's results in those events.
Yes.
International results, Hayden.
Tell me what's been going on.
Where are we at? Yeah, we talked last week about Lucy Oliver. So she's She's run and won another 5,000 metre race, nice. This time in 15:24.06. So that is just outside of the time she ran last time, just outside of another qualifier. So
another B qualifier.
Yeah. So, you know, she won the race. It didn't, I saw a picture, the track looked wet, so it wasn't great conditions. Didn't look like there was anyone around. So, you know, this is strengthening her chances of being selected. Yeah. So, you know, fingers crossed for Lucy.
She's obviously in great shape. Because if you're winning a race in 15:24, I mean, what would the heats of the 5K at the Olympics be qualifying in?
Tough to say, especially with it being Rio. But you could make an argument that if you run 15:35, you'll get in the final.
Yeah. And probably a last K in well under 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're likely to go out and run the first K in 4 minutes. Yeah. But Lucy comes from that background of being a 1,500 metre runner. So, you know, I think she's got a great argument for selection. But ultimately, I'm not a selector. You're not a selector. So
it's a big, murky process. So we'll leave it up to them, the other professionals, what they do.
We'll go through some other international results. Brad Mathis had an interesting week. So on the 19th in Brussels, he ran an 800 in 1:58.
Yep. So not his fastest.
No, about 11 seconds off his best time. But then bounced back on the 23rd, runs 800 in 1:48.58. So I've got no details as to what happened in Brussels, but he bounced back and had a pretty good race in Madrid. So we're going to keep up with Brad's results, and we really hope a PB is forthcoming. He's working really hard to move towards that world-class level. Looks like awesome. A Rio qualifier might be out of reach for this season.
Do you know what the time is for that?
1:47 low. So, it's pretty speedy stuff. So he's a second and a half off. And over 800, that's a long road to hoe.
Considerable.
Yeah. But speaking of 800 metres, Angie Petty is rounding into shape. So 201.92 in the same meeting in Madrid.
Nice.
So she has had 3 races, I believe, in Europe now and gotten a little bit faster each race. So we know she'll be aiming towards Rio. She's already locked in her nomination and selection. So it's all about training and coming to Rio in great shape. So
she's good at peaking as well, what I've seen of her the last couple of seasons, like times it well.
Speaking of the 800, Nikki Hamlin in Victoria, Canada, 205.72. And in that same meet, Matthew Harris, a pretty top New Zealand 1500 metre runner, running 3:45.51.
And that was a PB.
Yep, a PB. And then 2 other kind of results just to quickly go over. Yep. Eric Speakman, who we talked to on the last show, won the Bilbao International meeting. And Bilbao, is that in Spain?
Yep.
Yes. So he won the 1500 in 3:39.86. So that's a great bounce back. He didn't have the best race in Boston. So good to see him coming back under 3:40.
Yeah, totally.
And Camille Buscombe, 13:45.3. So she was in 4th place in the 5K in the same meet. So.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. And that's a bit of a bounce back as well from a 16-something. So trending in the right direction for her as well.
Yeah. And, you know, if anyone wants to check out those results, and obviously we're, along with our distance runners, we've got a lot of sprinters and throwers over in Europe at the moment. Some of them going for Rio qualifiers, some of them more just looking to set themselves up for the next World Champs or Commonwealth Games. But if you want any of those results, you can check out the Athletics New Zealand weekly roundup. Some really good information on there, thanks to our mate Murray McKinnon. He's a genius.
Great guys. And we'll put a link to that on the show notes on tempofit.org. But up next, we have Julian Matthews. So number 4 of our New Zealand's next top miler, and he has the qualifying time.
Yep.
So here is Julian. So we'd love to welcome to the show Julian Matthews, all the way from Ann Arbor in Michigan. He's on a training base at the moment there with a bunch of other Kiwis. But welcome to the show, Julian.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, oh, great to have you here. And congratulations on hitting that A standard. We've kind of been following all the big four at the moment, and we've been calling it New Zealand's next top miler, the whole American's next top model takeoff. But you're right. You and Nick are the only ones who have hit that A standard. Nick has been selected. He was part of the early selection round, but we understand that you haven't had that formalised selection yet. Do you know where that's at and what the process will be?
I missed that first selection by a couple of weeks. I hadn't hit the A standard when they selected the first team, I guess. Which is fine.
April something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I mean that was fine. I had targeted Swarthmore, just like Eric Speakman and Hamish had as well. This is to be expected. I was very fortunate to just slide under the A standard there in Swarthmore. Totally. I'm in a good standing at the moment, but anything could happen, so I won't count the chickens before they hatch.
Yes, definitely. now run me through that feeling, because I know when I've run track races, often you're looking at the clock as you're kind of crossing the finish line, but often the clock can be slightly delayed or slightly in front, and you're never really sure until that time comes up. What was that like when you saw that time?
Well, yeah, exactly. So I remember vividly seeing 3:35 on the clock, and it was like significantly in 3:35.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew I'd only just pipped Hamish at the line.
Yeah.
So I'm like, sweet, we both have hit it. Like, this is amazing.
Totally.
We've got two more Kiwis with an A standard. This is just fantastic. And we've both, it's been a long road for us to get to this point in our career. So
yeah,
it's quite emotional. And you'll see photos of us at the end of the race hugging.
Yeah.
And that was because we both believed we'd hit the A standard.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of a race, those hugs are kind of awkward looking, but there was a lot of emotion at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, like 10 seconds later, it was shown on a display that, in fact, I'd only just slid under, and Hamish had not. And
That's really brutal.
It was a weird feeling.
Yeah,
it was a weird feeling because for me, obviously it's a lifetime achievement, but at the same time, my good mate has just, he believed he'd hit it, and it's just devastating for him. So I had mixed emotions for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah,
totally. That's the way it goes sometimes. Yeah, it's really, really harsh.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And did you have plans at that stage to go on and hunt out more races where you could hunt down the time like Hamish and Eric have? But it seems like you've taken a little bit of a break since that race. You did Boston. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I did as well. So we'd planned to run in Windsor, just across the border from Detroit, which is about 30 minutes from our base in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Where I am right now, and it was just exactly the same setup, having Nick pace us through and having the very nice track club kind of file in behind, and I'd always planned on doing that one, but for me, I was kind of in the middle of a visa situation with the US, which meant that like as soon as I left the States, I couldn't get back in until I saw another visa.
Yeah.
So I definitely wanted to hit the race again and try and lower my time. Obviously, you're never satisfied. You want to run quicker and quicker.
Yeah.
And also because we had four guys potentially going for three spots of the 1500. I really wanted to secure my spot. So we went to Windsor and it was another really amazing pacing job by Nick. And cool. I didn't have it in the legs that day. But after that race, I kind of, you know, I was dealing with this visa issue, of course, and didn't know where I was going to be from day to day, pretty much. but I wanted to keep racing, just just as part of training, as well as trying to, like, obviously secure my spot on the team.
Yeah.
But obviously, I didn't have as much pressure on it as Hamish and Eric did. So it was a huge relief to have that A standard under my belt.
Yeah,
for sure.
Ticking that box nice and early. That's cool.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, being an Olympian, that's the one thing that every kid who grows up running or swimming or cycling, doing anything other than playing rugby, really dreams of being one day.
Yeah.
We see those pictures of Nick Willis nowadays on the Weet-Bix packets, but John Walker back in our day when we were kids. And for you've already ticked the box with a couple of those, with Comm Games in Glasgow and the World Champs last year. But what does the Olympics hold for you that's different from those two events?
I guess it's just what you have in your mind, you know, all the way through. You know, that's kind of, it's not the end point, but it's the major point that you want to get to. And then, you know, obviously once you reach that point, you want to medal, or, you know, it's, you know, to the final and then give myself a shot at medaling. But it's just it's one of those special milestones for sure. As I said before, like, you're never satisfied until you get gold, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'd be very honored to represent New Zealand at the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same level of competition as the World Champs. But I think, you know, the Olympics just brings out the best in every athlete. So I guess it is a step up, but, you know, it'll be the same sort of guys that I've raced against a couple of times now. Yeah. So,
and I guess it's a case of everyone stepping up for the Olympics, that little bit more than the World Champs, even though World Champs is the focus for everyone in those years as well. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, and we've seen it with our runners in New Zealand. Like, you know, who would have thought, like, last year we were going to have four guys that could potentially hit the A standard, and
absolutely,
you know, and would actually need to have a, you know, a serious trial.
Totally.
Most countries do. Yeah, so it's amazing what the Olympic year brings out in athletes. Yeah.
Oh, it's very cool. And like I talked to Eric last week, and we're saying, you know, he's 13th on the 1500 meter standings all time in New Zealand, and it's amazing that we've got five guys of that 13 who are still currently running. So. And when you think of our history as milers in the country, that's quite an amazing record to have five running right now. So
it's a very exciting time for the sport. I hope New Zealand kind of gets in behind it, and I think we can, you know, with a bit more public interest in the sport again, I think it will provide more opportunities for the younger runners to, you know, to excel. So it's been a really tough road for us second tier guys. You know, Nick's been the top dog for a very long time, and he's continually getting better, even, you know, with his age. It's very inspiring. It's been a rough road for us second tier guys.
And tell me a bit about that. Like, how do you get by with work? Because obviously, you know, spending your summers in the States and traveling all over trying to hunt out good races where you can hit the times. What are you doing work-wise, and how are you paying the bills?
Yeah, I mean, it was a real struggle after graduating from Providence College.
Yeah.
It's a university, of course, over here. You know, if you haven't got a contract out of college, it's really difficult, and that's where I think, like, support from our federation really needs to be, like, emphasized.
Yeah.
Because it's those years after college that we need just to get to that next level, and so we need to be like supported and able to train freely and you know, put in the hard yards without being distracted by work or anything else to get to that next level. So I really think an improvement can be made there. But I mean, it's, we're all running a debt here. Like there's no savings for us. It's all run, we're all running on passion you know, it's pretty special. So like we share this amongst, you know, I share this with Hamish and Eric, and it just makes it that much more special, I think. We've made it with very little funding and very little money, you know. Every year it's a struggle.
Yeah, you gotta be in it because you love it, definitely.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we run off, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And do you have a gear sponsorship, a sponsor that you want to give a plug to, or
yeah, definitely. I recently signed, it was actually the start of this year, with Saucony. Here in the States, and they've been incredible this year. Just a wonderful, wonderful running company. I feel very honored to be representing them at the moment. You know, hope we can continue working together in the future, for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, that's one of our goals with this show, is to help people like yourself, you know, be able to get that extra exposure here in New Zealand. And
I think it's a great thing you guys are doing, for sure. You know, it is tough to kind of improve or increase public interest when we're overseas most of the year. You know, I love coming back to New Zealand and you know, racing in New Zealand, but I think like it's much better for us, and we have much more opportunity to succeed by racing over here against world's best on a, you know, on a consistent basis, really. So it is tough, you know, what I think now that we've got like five of us running incredibly well in the 1500, I'd love us to run a relay at some stage and really put on a show for the public. I think that would spark a lot of interest and you know, help grow the sport for sure.
Yeah,
because for some reason I don't know what it is about us, but we are incredibly strong in this sport, and you know, it's a global sport. It's not like, I mean, we're incredible at rugby, of course, but you know, we're competing against the world in the 1500, or you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And to have three from such a small country, when you look at the size of other countries who barely get you know, one or two, and
I mean, I seriously think we could be very competitive at a world relay event. You know, I think we could, you know, go for the gold for sure. You know, on a good day, I think we have the talent to do that. So
are they still doing because I remember last year they had the world relay championship in Barbados or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. In the Bahamas. I watched it and I was like, man, we should be there. We've got the personnel to like really compete against these guys.
Totally.
There are so many positive reasons why we should do this. And you know, one of them is to get experience racing against guys on a, you know, on a world stage on a very pressurized situation. I think that's really important for our younger athletes.
Yeah.
Secondly, I mean, it's great exposure. So, you know, provides much more greater opportunity to get sponsorship or, you know, any endorsements. Thirdly, there's great prize money. So that would help us as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like anything helps, you know, when we're struggling to make ends meet here. It's,
definitely.
It's really important to really go for those opportunities, I think. And I think also, I mean, New Zealand would love to see that, I'm sure. We're competing States or, you know, Aussie or whoever, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
As a team, I think it would be really entertaining.
Yeah.
It would be entertaining as well.
I've got to say, like, the distance world gets a little bit shortchanged in the Olympics when you have the 4x100 and the 4x400. It would be so good if there was a 4x mile or a DMR in there. Yeah.
It would be a lot of fun. And, I think... we could instill a lot of pride and
totally
the public for sure.
And I'm sure there'll be some stats geeks out there that could help me with this, but there must be like a 4x mile record that's still sitting around that needs taking down, like from back in the 60s or 70s. So.
Yeah. There's a very special group of runners that we need to we need to get under for sure. And I think. Nick's expressed a little bit of interest in this. You know, I think, I mean, we'd all love to take down the legends, you know.
Well, but, someone soon's got to be able to come down and bring that 800 meter record down. It really shows how amazing Peter Snell was.
Peter Snell, unbelievable. Yeah.
But yeah, surely we can produce another 800.
Oh, I'm sure we could. Yeah, I mean, he was a very special athlete. I think one of the greatest we've ever produced. So it just shows you, like, you know, it still stands, and you know, even with the technological advances we've had in the sport, that really helped us. We still can't get under that 800 meters.
Don't know what it is. So let's go back a little bit. Where did it all start for you, and where did you find a love for running?
It started, I guess. I mean, I just enjoyed competing in any sport growing up. Highly competitive young man, and but basketball was my major sport.
I was going to ask you about that actually.
Yeah. So I kind of stemmed from. You know, my grandfather, who was a national basketball coach.
Really?
And he was, and he obviously kind of taught his kids how to play basketball, and my mother and her brother both represented New Zealand at a time. And I was completely infatuated with basketball. And running was just, you know, during the summer was another sport to really compete in, and I never really thought myself or dreamed of becoming what I am now, but it was, I guess, the major change, the point of change was when Greg Lautenschlager, he's still the Nelson Athletics Nelson coach, he arrived, he's a Texan, he arrived in 2002, and I think I was probably 13 or 14 at that stage.
Awesome.
And it was just his enthusiasm, and I don't know, just he became such a good friend, and he pulled together a bunch of guys that were pretty incredible, even to this day. Like Dallas Bowden, if you've
absolutely
heard of him, Dominic Channon as well. So I had those guys to train with, you know, through high school, and it was great because Dallas was an 800, 1500 meter guy, like lethal kick, and Dom was, you know, fantastic endurance athlete. So I had both of those guys to kind of work on each facet of my running, I suppose. And
perfect.
I mean, I was a year older than Dom and 2 years older than Dallas, but you know, we were pretty much on the same level.
They can still keep you honest. Yeah.
Oh man, they were hard to beat. You know, on a daily basis, we would always get after each other.
Awesome.
But we just kind of grew as athletes. You know, alongside each other, and it came to a point where, like, my basketball was going pretty well through high school. Managed to make the junior tall blacks.
Man, that's amazing. Years. Can I ask how tall you are?
I'm not that tall. I'm 6'1".
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, we've never met in person, but Yeah, it's always the next question. If you are tall, do you play basketball? And if you play basketball, how tall are you? So, yeah, wow. So you made the junior national team.
Yeah, that's right.
Very cool.
And, yeah, I mean, it was going pretty well. It's just running had kind of, I guess, come up to the same level as basketball. And I really had to make a decision. I sought counselling and everything, because I just had no idea which direction I wanted to go in. And then for some reason, against kind of everything that I'd ever thought, I chose running. And awesome. I haven't looked back since, really.
Yeah. So what we kind of need for you is a sport. You know how Nick Willis has taken to speed golf with his love of golf. We kind of need like an endurance form of basketball. That'd be just like triple the length of the court, maybe.
Honestly, like I can't shoot a ball anymore. Like it's been so long, and my arms are so weak. It's incredible.
I love it.
It's just a completely different fitness. So,
absolutely.
My basketball years are long gone now. So.
And do you still follow basketball? Like, have you been following Stephen Adams and all that over in the States?
Yeah, I mean, it's an epic story there. And I was so gutted that their team didn't make it through. Oh, totally. I really thought they were going. And then, just kind of all fell to pieces, really. But, he's obviously an incredible athlete and very proud Kiwi watching the NBA, and he's doing so well. It's incredible. I miss it a lot, but I've chosen this, and I'm just gonna do the best I can and look back, really.
So what sort of age was that when you made the call?
It was like 17, 18.
Yeah,
so my last year at high school.
Yeah. And what sort of point had you got to with your running? Like, were your times up to a certain stage where you were getting US colleges knocking on the door?
So Adrian Blanco, I think, contacted me, through him, Villanova was contacting me.
Awesome.
When I upon my graduating at Nelson College. But I decided to take a year off after that, and backpacked around Europe for 10 months.
Brilliant.
Didn't run at all, didn't do anything. But
wow,
my passion hadn't kind of waned. It was I just knew that, you know, this was the only chance I was going to get to, I don't know, enjoy life a little bit before.
Yep, do it while you can.
I mean, I still enjoy this, what I'm doing, but just to have a bit of freedom for a year and then just completely dedicate myself to the sport.
Yeah, very cool.
Which is what I've done, yeah.
Awesome. And tell me a little bit about college when you went to the States. You ended up at Providence eventually, but you went to another college before that. Run me through kind of why you chose to go to college and what it was like when you first got there.
Okay, so I guess it all began... Actually, at the start of my backpacking trip, Dominic and I, we came over to the States and ran a few races over here.
Yeah.
And we came to Michigan, Ann Arbor, where I am right now, in 2007.
Cool.
Just to visit the school and, like, meet Nick. I think it was the first time I'd met Nick. And
So he would have been just out of college,
just won the 12 games. So he was flatting here, and he was so kind. He put us up, and I was so lucky. I got to stay in his room.
Awesome. What
an airbed in his room. I was just so happy. I couldn't. And Dom was in the closet. I was so happy.
Brilliant.
And it was a really cool time. Nick just showed us around. We got to run with Nick, and cool. I remember him saying, like, when we first arrived there, he's like, oh, like, you guys are gonna be running with me, like, at some point in your career, like, you both are gonna, you know, get to this level. And we're just like, really? Like, you're so good. Like, I don't think we'll ever be able to get up to that level. I just remember that quite vividly, and it's quite it's kind of strange that I'm back here in Ann Arbor and, you know, having the opportunity to race with him.
Yeah, almost 10 years later, it's all come true.
Yeah, so anyway, that was a side note.
that's all right. So,
yeah, came up, so we visited Michigan, talked to Ron, the coach here, who's now my coach.
Awesome.
And then I took off to Europe, and I tried contacting Ron. I really wanted to come to Michigan.
Yeah.
My times weren't good enough, I suppose, for Michigan, and didn't hear back from Ronnie. So I had to.
What sort of times? I'm sure there'll be some high school kids listening to this. What sort of times were you running in year 12, year 13?
PB in the 15 was 3:50.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of like the cutoff point, I suppose, for like, you know, really good program in D1.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, Ron was obviously really interested in Dallas.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting Dallas over to Michigan because he'd run 3:46 as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, he was a young phenom, and got him. But things happened where Ronnie had to leave the university, and yeah. Anyway, that's another story. But yeah, 3:50 is around the cutoff time, I'd guess.
Cool.
But I mean, it's never set in stone. Like if you've shown improvement, you know, from year to year to year, and depending on how you are training.
Yeah.
Back home, you know, coaches, you know, may not look at PB as, you know, an important fact, you know, as they go in to recruit you.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
cool. Depends on the coach and, you know, in the program that he's got going on.
Yeah. Awesome. But,
you know, 3:50 is a good target, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Mm. Now you started at, was it Auburn University?
So getting back to that, I mean, yeah. I really wanted to come to Michigan, but, you know, quickly realized that wasn't going to come about. And so I, you know, Providence College was my next choice, I guess. But I still was unsure. I was backpacking at the time, so I couldn't do a lot of research into, you know, the universities, which is something you really need to do, and I would encourage all the young athletes, you know, looking to come to the States, just like really do your research into the program, into the coach,
totally,
into the area that, you know, the university is, and just really get your head around the universities over here, because, you know, programs differ greatly across the country. So it's really worthwhile, sitting down and really just go through, you know, the athletes that have, you know, improved over the years in each program, and, you know, how long the coach has been at the program, you know, just things like that. But so I didn't have a chance to do that, so I really didn't know. You know, Providence was on my mind, and Ray, the coach there, had contacted me and had offered me a scholarship, but I sat on it for a week or two, just kind of weighing up my options, and by the time I responded, I said yes. I said, I'd love to come to Providence. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't think you were going to accept, given half of your scholarship away. But I've still got one more scholarship that hasn't been accepted yet. And it was for Dominic Channon, my good mate. And he said, if Dominic doesn't accept the scholarship, then you can have that one. So I immediately rang Dom and I said, Dom, are you gonna go to Providence? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, dang it. So, because Dom had the cross country background, he was the much better athlete for the scholarship. So then I decided to go to Auburn,
which is
down in Alabama of all places, and had a great year down there. Met some fantastic people, and I'm still friends with a lot of them. Wasn't so happy with the program itself.
Sure.
So I had to make a quick decision to transfer and
get on the phone again to Providence.
Yeah, that's right. The scholarship opened up at Providence, and Ray was interested. He said I had to run something like 3:46 that year for him to really give me the scholarship. But and I managed to do that. So and it worked out so well. Dom and I were together again up in Providence, and you know, things, I guess, kind of panned out for me up there.
Oh, very cool. And what was like your main racing highlight during college? I know you went to the NCAA cross country nationals a couple of times, and
My first year at Providence, I managed to get to the 1500 meter final.
For outdoors.
Outdoors, and you know, I wasn't really expecting to be, you know, doing that, but just lucky, you know, getting through the rounds, and you know, found myself in a final.
That's amazing.
It was such an epic experience. I didn't run very well. I think I just was overwhelmed by the whole ordeal. But it was I do feel I grew as an athlete because of those experiences. I also ran my last indoor championship. I made the semi-final, and then I just blew up again. I was expected to make the final, and I just folded under the pressure, and you know, I had to really go back and figure out what happened psychologically, and you know, I learned a lot from that experience as well. So, and that was a year before the Commonwealth Games. You know, I took a lot from, you know, my experiences in the NCAA through to the Commonwealth Games. And
I was going to ask that, because you made it through to the final in Glasgow.
Yeah, so I finished up ninth, but I was it was my first black singlet event.
Totally.
And you know, I just, it is quite overwhelming, you know, running in that black singlet. I managed to, you know, stay composed and put in a couple of good performances. So, and then that kind of led into World Champs, and World Champs was pretty good as well. And
made the semi-final in the World Champs.
Right. And finished up 16th, which was crazy. I don't know how that happened, but pretty happy with that. Just considering like how I had to race for about 11 weeks in a row leading up to that championship. So I couldn't prepare properly, but managed to like hit the right heats and you know, use my kick as well as I could to get through.
I mean, and what's that feeling like when you think back to, you're this kid back in Nelson, just jogging away, doing a bit of basketball, and now you find yourself in the top 16 in the 1500 in the world. Is that kind of a eerie feeling?
I mean, the way you put it, yeah, it would be, but like it's been such a long road. So like I've made, you know, incremental improvements over the years. It kind of like, it's not expected, but it's like, it's not that overwhelming, you know? And I mean, sometimes I think back and like, you know, I'm standing on the line in front of like thousands of people in the crowd with the New Zealand singlet on, and it's just crazy to think. Cool. But you know, it's just been a long road, and you know, it's just year after year after year grinding it out. You kind of expect to get to that level if you can, you know, sustain such a long career. And I've been so fortunate to be able to do that. You know, my body's held up reasonably well, and you know, a lot of people, you know, have misfortunes, and you know, they either get sick or they get a permanent injury, or I've just managed absolutely to stay clear of that and improve. I think I've improved every year since I began running, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I talk to a lot of top-level coaches, and that's one of their goals, is to not let their athletes take massive jumps. You know, if that happens, then that's okay, but just chipping away at that consistency, getting those every year, just chipping away at a new PB, and it's that consistency over time, eh?
I mean, I'll bring Dominic Channon up as an example. Like he ran so well in his freshman year at Providence in his first year, and he struggled to get back to that, you know, that performance that he had in his freshman year. And I just, you know, he's putting in the work, but just couldn't get to that level, that same time, or get any improvement. And I just, I find like any improvement at all is, you know, a positive reinforcement. So then you, you know, you're like, yes, okay, I'm doing something right. I can keep going. You've got that motivation to keep going.
Yeah.
And I find like I've been so lucky with that. And I don't know how I would respond. Like year after year, not improving. I just, you know, I take my hat off to anyone who continues grinding it out, even though, you know, they don't reap the rewards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's sort of similar to someone like Alan Webb in the States, who, you know, came on the scene, dropped an American record in the mile, and all of a sudden he's got all this hype around him. But then it's almost like you change your identity to being that American mile record holder, and
exactly,
anything less than 350 for the mile is considered slow from then on. And so
like a poor performance, and that's really hard to deal with. Like,
yeah,
I mean, 350 is incredibly fast. Our national record's not much faster than a 350, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
It's tough. It's I think I do feel like I'm very fortunate to have just experienced, even if it's like a really small improvement, you know, having that little bit of improvement really does help get you out the door every day and continue on this journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, one of the questions we ask everyone who comes on the show, well, most people we forget a few times, but what has running taught you about life?
I guess it's just like things will happen if you just keep going, you know, like just not, I know it's a cliche and, you know, everyone says it, but like, you just got to keep going. And, you know, there's been a lot of times where I've questioned whether I should continue or not. And, you know, you've had a bad race or you've had a bad couple of races and your Achilles is sore and you're just like, oh, what am I doing? Like everyone else has, you know, got a great career or whatever. But I think if you've really got a passion for something, just keep going. And, you know, I'm sure like things will happen, and it's happened for me. And that's what it's taught me, I guess. Awesome. Just if you have a vision, just keep going for it, you know.
Yeah, don't give up. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now that's great. And to finish off with, people always want to know about runners' nutrition habits. And so what's your go-to meal? Let's put yourself in the, say, the world champs last year. What would you eat before your semi-final night lining up? How does your...
The night before. Yeah. I would probably just go for something like pesto pasta or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just something simple. I think, well, I find it's easily digestible.
Cool.
And, I mean, it's not, I don't put a lot of emphasis on it. I don't, I always think back to, I heard a story about John Walker before he broke the world record in the mile.
Yeah.
I heard he had fish and chips and a Coke for lunch and broke the record that night. So I don't put too much thought into it, really. I'm like, as long as I don't do that, I mean, I wouldn't risk doing that, but like, you know, just I don't put too much thought into it. But you know, just something that's safe, you're not gonna get sick from. So like no seafood or chicken. I just
eat
something really simple, and
nice.
That's about it, really. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Well, we're totally behind you and really hoping those, well, I'm sure the selectors will give you the nudge, but it's not a signed deal till it is a signed deal. So all the best with that selection process, and all the best with your training towards Rio. We're super excited to hopefully see three black singlets on the start line.
It'd be so special if we could manage to get three guys there on the line. You know, we'd have a decent shot at getting three in the final too, hopefully. So that would be more special, but wait and see.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Awesome.
It would.
Well, cool. Thanks so much, Julian, for taking the time. Happy training.
Thank you very much.
Hey. All right. Thanks, Julian, for joining the show. Great to hear his thoughts. And actually, we don't know what his thoughts were because we're recording this ahead of time. So hopefully we do get hold of Julian and we had an amazing conversation. Yeah. Your world has been changed.
I think you've just broken the third wall is what you've done. I was about to say, yeah, that was a great interview, really insightful. And kind of thinking in the back of my head, I haven't interviewed Julian because Hayden is doing that tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not going to edit this out, are we? We're just going to keep going.
Yeah, this is going to stay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
People get a little insight into how we do this thing. Yeah. Trying to Skype people over in Europe is a bit of a challenge.
We've done well so far, mate.
We've
pulled down the four contestants for New Zealand's Next Stop Miler.
Number four. So fingers crossed that we get Julian tomorrow. All right. So we wanted to finish the show talking a bit about did not finish, DNFing.
Ooh, controversial topic.
Yeah. So big topic. And I mean, I don't know where you stand on this. But from me as a coach, I almost
Back it up here. Before we talk about Hayden the coach, let's talk about Hayden the athlete.
Okay, yeah.
Have you ever DNF'd?
Once.
Yes. Tell us about that.
Well, aside from pacing, when I've been in actual pacing duties. And only once in a race, and that was Queenstown Marathon, 35K mark, just past third place. My Achilles went pop. And I was bang on the ground, couldn't take another step.
Wuss.
Yeah. I tried crawling.
No, did you really? You joke.
I crawled to the side of the track.
Okay,
onto some grass where I immediately burst into tears or something. And then a couple of ladies who were running the half marathon actually shouldered me to the aid station, which is really nice.
Wow, that's really nice.
I didn't ask them if they could shoulder me all the way I'll share my prize money for third place if you carry me. We would have had to do 4 minute Ks though. So, that would have
been
tough.
Were they strong ladies?
Well, they'd started walking for the race. So they would have had to speed up a bit. So I don't think that would have worked.
Yeah.
So that's the only time of DNF.
Okay.
We'll
definitely going to come back and ask your perspective as a coach. I've DNF'd more than a few times, probably. Yep. So over how long have I been racing? 20 years. Yep. So I would have DNF'd 5 or 6 times.
Yep.
And some of them I don't even remember. But, you know, the ones that stick in my mind, I do remember. And my theory is, based on what's happened to me, every DNF that I've had that I remember, which are the ones that really upset me, they shouldn't have been DNFs. They should have been DNSs, did not start.
Yeah.
Because basically what happened was I started a race either when I was sick or really out of shape, and I just kind of tricked myself and told myself it'd be okay and I could pull one out of nowhere and it would be fine, and it wasn't fine. And really embarrassing. Like I remember my first one when I was about 18 years old, and I just had a few good seasons. Actually, I was about 19 years old. And so I'd already won some national medals. And, you know, I was so cool after that. You don't know how cool I was having won these national medals. And so all of a sudden, I'm hanging out with the other cool people. And we're doing cool things like drinking and staying out till really late. And God, I was so cool. But being so cool, I forgot to do training.
Oh no.
But I was obviously a national medalist, so I thought I could just rock up to the track, and, you know, hadn't done any winter base, hadn't done any cross country really besides a bit of club stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't go to National Rose or anything like that, but I thought, oh, track, you know, I won medals last year, I'll be fine. And I rocked up to a 3K at Pirate Stadium in Hamilton, and I just got demolished. And actually not demolished by older people or people my age. I got demolished by some of the juniors coming through. So
some of the younger guys.
Yeah, and unlucky me, I was running against a 15-year-old called Garrett Reed, who, you know, later that season ran 8:12 for 3K.
Wow.
I wasn't to know that, but, you know, he laps me that day. And, you know, some guys that I kind of it's not that I didn't respect them, but I thought I was better than them. And they all beat me. And, you know, so embarrassing. I grabbed my shoes after the race and I chucked them in the bin and I was swearing. And, you know, I just wanted everyone to see how angry I was, because I was sad. And
you're
I was
disappointed. And I was gutted. I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, but yeah. I wanted to pretend like I was angry to make an excuse. I don't know what was going through my head. But it was actually... It was really dumb, and it could have just been avoided, because I shouldn't have raced.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I guess, you know, ramble, long story. The point I'm trying to make is the braver decision sometimes is to not start.
Yeah.
You know when you're not going to, you know when you're sick, you know when you're out of shape. So that is not the time to line up and try and run your best ever marathon or your best ever 10K or half marathon. You still go and run. If you're happy to run with a friend or finish or just do it as a training run, those are all good things. But sometimes I think the braver decision is to pull the plug and not start, rather than put yourself in that situation. I don't know. What do you think, Hayden?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously really... there's lots of different cases. But I mean, when you look at other sports, like say the rugby, for example, we've just seen the All Blacks destroy Wales.
Wales have not started?
You know, should have they got to halfway through the match on Saturday and so, right, we're DNFing. We're going to put a DNF in this. But no, they've got to keep going, keep tackling, even though they're getting their faces rubbed in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same. Nadal's getting beaten by Federer or something. He's not just going to walk off the court and throw the towel in. He puts up a brave face and does his best and keeps on going. And, you know, why is it different for us in running this individual sport where we think we can just throw the towel in?
Yeah.
And what it does for me is when you've done that once, it's like you've popped the cherry, excuse the expression, but you've done it once, and then what's to say you've broken that wall, so it's so much easier to do it again.
The option is always on the table if you've done it once.
And I always find it somewhere between about half and sort of three quarters of the way through any race. So in a mile race, it's that third lap where it gets really hard. In a marathon, it's 25K to 35K. That's where most people will pull out. And it's that zone where if you give yourself an out in that zone, if your brain's gone there, it's wired that way it will follow down that track again.
I definitely see what you're talking about, because I know from that time that I first pulled out, there were, you know, I only pulled out subsequently half a dozen times at most, but I thought about it a lot. You know, and it would have been great if it was just something that wasn't on the table.
Yeah.
If it just was a not even considered, because, you know, it's essentially a distraction and it's a negative thought. So you want to stop all of those negative thoughts. So I can definitely see what you're saying. Just make it a non-issue. It should never happen.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets difficult, because that, you know, as a coach, where, under what circumstances would you advise an athlete to DNF?
DNFing. Okay, so I would say you're allowed to DNF if your body is at risk. So like for me, I'd partially ruptured my Achilles. If I took another step, the whole thing would have gone. If you've, you know, pulled up with a hammy, that you've got full all body cramps, you can't stretch it out, that sort of thing. If medically, you know, you're going sideways across the road, going and doing the Craig Barrett into the bushes or whatever, you know, that's a good sign. You need to pull the plug if your life and your health is at risk. But if your ego is at risk, you just got to keep going. Cause, and I think that's the difference.
What are you trying to say,
Hayden? You know, if you're a marathon runner and you usually run, say, 4 hours and you're coming in on pace for 4:30 and you're like, I'm just going to pull the plug. Change the story at that midpoint when you're really struggling and say, now this is my time where I'm going to prove that I have the toughness to go, even though there's no reward of a PB and all this, and just prove to yourself that you can push through.
All right, I'm going to give you a scenario.
All right,
that I've had. And I think it's a, I found it really tough.
Yeah.
So, it was a female athlete. It could equally be a male.
Yeah.
Went out way too hard in a half marathon, through the 5K and a 5K PB, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Gets to 13, 14K, things start falling apart. See them again at about 15K, hysterically crying.
Oh, no.
Just complete psychological meltdown.
Yeah.
And you're right there, and they're walking,
yeah,
and just sobbing and can't function.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you advise?
Yeah, well, you might have to do a bit of psychological work. Do they walk it out? Yeah, so I've walked with someone for the last 10K of a marathon, and what I actually did, I had my wallet with me and went into McDonald's. We got a Happy Meal and ate the fries on the way in. Yeah. Did little bits of jogging, but we made it there. Yeah, so I would keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've put yourself on the start line. You've paid the money. You might have traveled to it. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to come home with some blisters and a time that you will prefer to forget about.
And a shattered ego.
Yeah, yeah. keep going. Because, yeah, what it will do for you mentally and just blocking off that idea of pulling out is just, yeah, so, so important.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That would be my take homes.
Yep. You've talked me around. I still advocate the DNS.
Yeah.
If you're unhealthy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, and my take on the DNS, yeah, I agree if you're unhealthy, but if you're unfit, yeah, like you said, just really changing your expectations. So if you're, I don't know, say you're doing a 5K and you're usually running 25 minutes, just saying, "Okay, I'm going to run 28 minutes, but I'm going to run the last K at the speed I wanted to run," or something like that.
Yeah. Or I'm going to run with Susie from the, from my Wednesday class, or I'm going to do it with my cousin Mandy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did a marathon a couple of years ago where I just ran the first 30K easy, just jogged it. And then I did a 12K tempo run at the end. It was kind of a training run, but it was also that I wasn't in perfect shape.
Expensive training run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I came home with a bit of prize money. So,
okay. So balanced out. Go. Good, good.
Anyway, that's enough of
rambling.
Yeah, enough of our rambling. So thank you everyone for joining into the show. Once again, thank you to our guests, Kieran, Katie, and Julian. Next week, I think we should get in touch with some of the ladies.
Oh, we definitely need to. So, we're really keen to interview Angie, Nikki,
Lucy
and Camille. So we'll hopefully get to those athletes in the, you know, coming weeks.
Absolutely.
So, do keep on tuning in. And, you know, if you've got any ideas of who we should interview, or if you think you're really interesting and you should be interviewed, drop us an email. Hayden, what's the email address?
Yeah, krs@tempofit.org. And yeah, we'd definitely love to hear some cool stories, because obviously we're building up to the Olympics at the moment, so we've got this focus on the elite athletics.
Yep.
But, you know, this is the Kiwi running show, so we want to share stories of Kiwis running, no matter how fast or slow you are.
Yeah.
But, we really want to inspire people, no matter where they are in the journey. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can also catch us on Facebook, Tempo Fit. Just type it into the search bar, you'll find us. And online, tempofit.org, you'll find all the show notes on there. Now, what have we got coming up over the next week, Hamish?
Mate, it's actually, you Tempo Fit, it's a really important time because we're, what, 4 months away?
Yeah.
We're 4 months away from most of the major marathons. So Auckland, Queenstown.
New York,
Tarawera 50. So we have something called the A-Team. Do you want to tell us a little about the A-Team, Hayden?
Yeah, so we're both on the coaching team for that. We've got a bunch of coaches. And basically what it is
world-class coaches, you could say, Hayden.
Absolutely. So it's a four-month program. You can do it either online or in Auckland and Wellington, where you can come to the workouts. And basically you get everything taken care of. So you get your training plan, you have a personal coach that you can contact with questions. We've got a great online community on a private Facebook page. So it's this great sort of team environment. Running is this solo sport, so really cool to get people on board as a team. So we did it for the first time at Rotorua, just gone, and we had 45 people coming along in the team. Finished off with a massage, smoothie, brunch. Wow. And yeah, it was a really cool way to finish the race. So it's called the A-Team because it's Auckland Marathon. So that's where we do massage and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So even if your goal is Queenstown, you could come and do, say, the quarter marathon and be part of that that race day hospitality. But yeah, jump on tempofit.org for details on that.
Yeah.
Also tempofit.co.nz. We haven't merged the two sites yet, so
we're getting there. Look, and I'm gonna shamelessly give it another plug because I think it is something really worth considering. If you've run a marathon before and you want to improve your time but don't necessarily have more time to put in, kind of what we do is we bring the tactics and the tips that the top runners use, and we how would you describe it, Hayden? We make them relevant to the everyday runner. So we give you access to the team training environments and the latest methodologies that top runners use. And, you know, generally speaking, there's a pretty strong improvement. I think you've got some statistics around that.
Yeah, totally. And one of the big things that people generally lack is they do those long runs at the weekend, but they don't do any of that sort of speed work, lactate threshold, that really sort of biomechanical stuff that will improve your times.
Which is the fun stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then drills, and then core and conditioning, injury prevention, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So really important to look at yourself like an athlete, not just this person who does a long run at the weekend preparing for the marathon. So really holistically approaching your training. Also things like nutrition and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it would be great to have you on board. It's open for anyone doing half marathon, marathon, whether you're looking to run, say, 3 hours for the marathon up to 6-7 hours. So we have the whole spectrum. But yeah, anyway, enough of that. Thanks for joining into the show, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Have fun.
Happy running.